Perfect. Call to order our September 6, 2023 meeting of the Ventura Port District open session. Can we start with a pledge? Gloria, how are you? Please.
Ready to begin?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well done. Thank you. All right. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Stevens?
Here.
Commissioner Brennan?
Present.
Commissioner Rainey?
Present.
Vice Chair Gardena?
Here.
And Chair Blumenberg?
Here.
Thank you.
All right. Next item is adoption of the agenda. Commissioners, what do you think of tonight's agenda?
I move we adopt as presented.
Second.
So I have a motion and a second to adopt the agenda as presented. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, we have adopted tonight's agenda as presented. All right, we're going to move on to approval of the minutes. And note we have two sets of minutes to vote on. The minutes from our July 19th meeting, which seems a long time ago, and our special session last week, August 31st meeting. So, Commissioners, thoughts on those minutes?
I'll move the item.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second to accept the minutes from our July 19th and August 31st meetings. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? Hearing none, minutes from both meetings are approved. Moving on to public communications, this is an opportunity for the public to testify on items that are not on tonight's agenda. Do we have any public speakers?
There are no public speakers.
We will close public communications and we'll move on to our closed session report. Council?
Good evening, Chair, members of the board. The board met in closed session to discuss the two leases mentioned in the agenda under section 54956.8 and the lawsuit under 54956.9. And no reportable action was taken in either case.
Thank you. All right. Move on to board communication and opportunity for commissioners to present brief reports on any port issues. Commissioners, do we have anything to share?
I was able to go to the event at Harbor Cafe, the Hula event that was raising funds for Maui. So just a wonderful event and lots of people there. Really wonderful.
Thank you, Jackie. Thanks for sharing that. All right, we'll close board communications and move on to our staff and general manager reports. Brian?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. A couple of items that Jennifer and the marketing department provided to us. This last Labor Day weekend included a visit, if some of you saw, by the NFL Los Angeles Rams. Promo team for what they called Rams on Highway 1 Beach hit throughout Labor Day weekend, getting fans excited for the NFL season start. Hundreds of Ram fans came out to Harbor Cove Beach. And then in turn, we're seeing dining and shopping at Harbor Village. The Rams reached out to Susan, our event liaison, to host here in the harbor, as they stated that the harbor had the best beaches in Ventura. Marketing worked to cross-promote the exciting opportunity. We were glad to have them here and hope they make it an annual occurrence. I saw that advertising myself out there leading into that day. That was great. Great to see. Looking forward to coming up here this weekend. All are invited for the 15th annual Ventura Art and Street Painting Festival at Ventura Harbor Village, produced by Ventura County Art Events, Inc., featuring 30 curated art vendors and more than 20 street painting artists, live music, and a marvelous mug marketplace at Ventura Pottery Gallery complement the popular annual festival. Paintings will continue to be on view for weeks to come along the village promenade. And Jennifer, this is located between On the Alley and Andreas, right? Where a lot of the painting work itself is being done. Yeah. Yeah. So all the way down. So that is my report. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian, and good to have you back.
Thank you.
In the office.
Quick, Brian, what are the hours of that activity?
10 to 5, both Saturday and Sunday? Very good.
Think you can fit that into your weekend agenda? Always a busy man. All right, we'll move on to our consent agenda. Tonight we have five items, and these are typically non-controversial, intended to be acted upon by the board at a single time. I'll just quickly summarize the five items. We have out-of-town travel requests. We have ADA restroom remodel, acceptance of that work, acceptance of work with a new trash enclosure, and award of a bid for outdoor holiday decorations. Hard to believe we're planning ahead, but I congratulate you on planning ahead. And consideration of a claim. Commissioners, what do you want to do with our consent agenda?
Do we have any public comments before we
thank you
move forward?
There are no public speakers.
I will move approval and add that the work on the restrooms and as much as it's hard to believe that trash enclosures require so much work, they also did a great job on that. So I think that all looks good. So I move approval.
I'll second.
So I have a motion and a second. Before we take a vote, I think there's a question.
I do. Just on E, the rejection of the claim, I want to make sure I understand in a case like this where we're one of 1,500 other agencies, who's representing our interests in a case like that?
Well, the first thing, I guess, is that the interest of CalPERS is the same as the interest of its members. We're both going to defend ourselves that we just followed the law. I'm not aware of anything that requires CalPERS to defend us, except that the plaintiff is going to ask the court to appoint the state of California as a class representative. We have a defendant class here, which is very rare. Class actions typically, and the reason they're rare is that lawyers defending defendant class actions don't have a source of payment. If you bring a lawsuit as a class action, then you get a percentage of the recovery. There's no such mechanism for a defendant class. But here, they suggest the state of California, which already has skin in the game. And if the judge grants that, that would be a good thing, I think, for our side.
Okay.
So the answer is I really don't know how that's going to shake out.
Okay. Okay. And I guess CalPERS interest is the same, but just theoretically, if CalPERS said we're going to settle this because we want, is that our interest would be included in that?
Well, yes, I suppose if the effect of that would require us to pay out funds that we wouldn't ordinarily pay out, then
okay,
we'd have an issue with that.
Okay. Thank you. I don't have any more.
All right. So with that clarification, I have a motion and a second, and I think that can still go forward. So all in favor of, I'm sorry. Okay, thank you. So I've been reminded that because we have two resolutions, we need to take a roll call vote. So roll call, please.
Commissioner Stevens?
Yes.
Commissioner Brennan?
Yes.
Commissioner Rainey?
Yes.
Vice Chair Gardena?
Yes.
Chair Blumenberg?
Yes.
Vote carries 5-0.
Thank you. We'll move on to our standard agenda. First item on the standard agenda is resolution 3485, approving the financial statements for April through June of 2023. Brian, you want to take it?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to ask Gloria Atkins to present the item.
Okay, can everybody hear me? Usually nobody hears me. Good evening, commissioners. You have before you the draft of the financial statements for the fourth quarter of the fiscal year for April through June 2023. These reports also reflect the unaudited fiscal year end at 6/30/23. Staff is still working on the year-end reconciliations and accruals. That's why we're calling this a draft. It still needs to be have final reconciliations and audit journal entries put into this. This quarter ended with a positive year-to-date change in net position of $3.28 million. This is 1.6% less than the change in the net position for the same period last year, which was $4.64 million. The annual change in the net position last year included the receipt of the $1.2 million grant funds from the State Lands Commission. And that's why it's so much higher than this year's. The operating revenues for the year exceeded the fiscal year budget by $566,000, and the operating expenses are under budget by $803,000. Another item to note is that the operating income as of June 30th of $11 million is 9% higher than the same period last year, and the operating expenses of $8.5 million is 13% higher than the same period of last year. The reports in your package include the statement of income and expenses, supplementary notes to the statement of income and expenses, distribution of cash position, comparison of lease rents to the prior year, a three-year comparative statement of income and expenses, those are actual expenses and income comparisons, accounts payable check register for the current quarter, the credit card expense register for the current quarter, the quarterly treasurer's report, and the reimbursement disclosure report for the fiscal year. This is the second year of the disclosure reporting requirement for reimbursements paid to any employee or member of the governing body. This concludes my report. Are there any questions? Or
Brian, do you have anything to add before? Commissioners, questions, comments on this? One comment I wanted to make is it jumps out at you as you look at the revenue picture. Portside really jumped out. And I remember for years we're talking about, you know, as soon as Portside fills out. Well, Portside is filled out. That had a very nice impact on the district's revenue. And look forward to Portside retail section filling out, and that'll help us even more. So it's been a long time coming, but Portside's looking great, and it's great for business. So that's nice to see. Do we have any public comments on this agenda item?
There are no public speakers.
No public speakers in the house. Nobody online.
Right. I'll move the item as presented.
All right. So
second.
We'll have a motion and a second to adopt resolution 3485 approving the financial statements April through June of 2023. This is a resolution, so can I get a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Stevens?
Yes.
Commissioner Brennan?
Yes.
Commissioner Rainey?
Yes.
Vice Chair Gardena?
Yes.
Chair Blumenberg?
Yes.
Vote carries 5-0.
Thank you, Gloria. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
All right, we will move on to agenda item number two, authorization to procure electric vehicles.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like Todd Mitchell to provide this presentation.
Thank you, Brandon. Well, it's been a long time coming. Gloria referred to the State Lands Commission grant. That was a big source of funding that we earmarked towards electric vehicles. However, everyone knows that the supply chain was a bit of a challenge. And in fact, there really wasn't a lot of suitable vehicles even for the kinds of applications that the district needed. Things are finally changing, and we are looking for the authority for the general manager to enter into procurements for 5 vehicles. And we're, instead of awarding this individually per vehicle, we're looking for the administrative savings, I guess, in terms of the workload, but also the ability to react quickly, because with limited availability comes the need to, you know, ink a contract very quickly. There's 5 vehicles proposed. One is a lift vehicle for facilities. One might call it a cherry picker, but in essence, that vehicle is pretty tarnished from the harsh marine environment, and it needs to be replaced. Something that's been budgeted, it was budgeted late last year, and we're going to move forward with it this year. And then 4 EV vehicles, one for Harbor Patrol. John is able to find a great deal direct from the factory for a Ford Lightning. That's going to be fantastic. 2 EV Kia Niros, effectively a low-cost vehicle option for administration and for one of the members of the facilities department to get around to inspect work. And then a utility van, like a transit van, that will be electric vehicle and operate, you know, with all the tools and parts and supplies to move around the harbor. We're slightly over our budgeted number, which is why we've asked for a slight increase to actually amend the 23-24 capital budget to accommodate a little bit of extra as well as some money for outfitting the vehicles. But given how much money we received in grant funding towards this project, I think we're still in great stead to afford these vehicles and provide a sustainable solution for at least four of the vehicles that we're adding to the fleet. And that's my report.
Thank you. Commissioners, any questions?
Brian? Yeah.
Go ahead first.
Okay. I'm sorry. Comparatively, what do we anticipate maintenance costs will be of getting an EV vehicle, whereas in the past we got gasoline or diesel?
Well, the electricity will be vastly less expensive per vehicle simply because electric is a lot more reasonable and the price of gas only continues to escalate. We have now installed, they're literally just waiting for the cloud to flip them on, four charging stations out back of this building. So we're ready to connect. And the vehicles, in particular, the Kias, have a 10-year warranty. So there's full powertrain for 10 years. So we don't have to worry about the batteries failing. And we don't put nearly enough mileage on them for that to be a challenge. And then the Lightning, probably, it's Ford. Their warranty package isn't quite as good, but there also aren't very many options for a vehicle. And John can probably comment, but I mean, driving on the beaches and the kinds of response that might be required by Harbor Patrol could put a little bit more wear and tear, suspension components, et cetera. And it's a fairly new vehicle, so it's hard to be 100% certain, but it'll still have a 3-year bumper-to-bumper powertrain, et cetera, warranty. So I think we're in good shape. The EV van is also Ford, and same sorts of thing. But transit vans are pretty reliable, and as well, again, it's just basically driving around the village to, do electrical repairs, repair plumbing parts, etc. So very, very low wear. The lift vehicle, those are an investment in terms of maintenance. There's a lot of safety requirements. There's a lot of inspection requirements because that's the kind of vehicle they are. I don't see that being any less expensive on an annual basis than the one we have, except for the fact that the one we have, we bought used 10 years ago, and it's time. So we're gonna save ourselves a lot of money in rehabilitating that vehicle.
Thank you.
Right. That was just about answered all my questions. And the one thing that I guess I just realized in hearing is certainly the small transit vans are just, as you just said, you can put all the parts and things inside as opposed to having it on some of these carts now, electric carts that go around, industrial carts that I think have been electrified and been using those for some 20, 30 years, but the ability to take all that and have what you need at the same time. So sounds like to me, that's a great leap forward here. So look forward to it. I guess the only thing I would ask is the Lightning four-wheel drive.
Yes.
Oh, it is. Great. I didn't know those were on the market. So being able to get on the beach, good to know. Thanks. Thank you.
Yeah. glad to see this is moving forward. My question is, what percent of our fleet is this?
Maybe between Sergio and John, you can help us out.
It's a growing percentage. I mean, the short answer. Yeah.
Well, half of it.
It's the beginning.
Yeah.
So this will be about 25% of our fleet. Perfect. Okay.
I'm thinking more like 17-18%, but when you factor, well, we have to factor in that courtesy patrol also has a vehicle. Harbor Patrol has three. We're adding a vehicle to the fleet that isn't gas. So I think we're probably 17% ballpark electric.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
If I could just go back. Is there looking into electrification? I mean, any of the electric boats? I mean, I know we have a leaseholder here that probably specializes in that, and I'm wondering where that's going.
So as you know, we have a representative of electric boats, but I have been spending the last 2 years looking at boats and specifically how they're incorporating electric into operations. Currently, it's not there yet. It's there at the bigger ship level because they can have big generators to charge and stuff. But at a low, at a lower level, because of the variabilities and because of the, I guess, pride that we have as a harbor to extend our services to people in need who otherwise would not have services, that I don't think that there's a current product on the market that would be sufficient. There's certainly a demo boat that they have available that I've looked into, and we could talk about maybe that. It would not replace any of our boats. It wouldn't have the same capabilities, but it would be another option. It could potentially be a good partnership with the city of Ventura because we do go back there at times and they don't have a boat, but it's a much smaller, the range is much less when you're running. So the, I just rented a electric car for the last 10 days. You get up fast and the range drops really quick. And typically when we're trying to get somewhere, we want to go fast. So we're constantly looking. We have a good finger on the pulse, and I'm sure when we get there, we'll definitely bring it to you guys.
Absolutely. Thanks, John. Good. Appreciate that update.
No more questions from the commissioners. Do we have any public comments?
Yes, I have Kent Bullard. Kent, did you want to speak? I know you...
Okay, I'm unmuted now.
Yes.
I do think I support 100% getting electric vehicles for harbor operations with the terrain and the utilization. They're really used as local vehicles primarily. Makes a lot of sense as far as maintenance operations. You know, there's no more changing the oil. There's no more smog checks, those kind of things. Really, the only thing they're going to be doing on those vehicles is tires and cleaning them just like you normally do. So they'll be saving the Harbor District money and operational on just a daily basis. I did find an electric, all-electric lift truck that may be an option to look at, and I pass that on to Todd. So I really think that having the Harbor District move forward on this is the first step in the right direction. And I hope to see all of you at the electric vehicle car show on the 1st of October on the lawn there. It's the second year we'll be back doing that. That's it.
All right, Kent, thank you very much for joining us tonight and sharing your opinion. Much appreciated. No other public comments?
No other public speakers.
Oh. Wait, actually, Lenore, thank you for joining us tonight. And
yeah, nice to see you all. So thank you, John. And I just wanted to say about electric boats, I don't think I've actually mentioned to you guys that I took a role as CEO for Vita North America. So in addition to my other jobs, I'm actually running that electric boat company for North America. And I just to kind of keep in your heads, what John's saying is really true about the Ventura Harbor, because we don't spend that much time patrolling in the Ventura Harbor, but we do have 7 voucher requests out this year. Newport Beach, Avalon, all workboat applications. So we're in the CORE program, and it is a good thing for the port to think about, because the way the CORE voucher program works is it pays the difference between an ice boat and the electric boat. So it, when the money is there, it's good to take advantage of. There's about $15 million in the commercial harbor craft category, and $600,000 has been applied for, and that's all Vita boats. There are no other boats in the program right now. So I'm not trying to do a sales pitch for the boats, but I'm trying to say electric is very viable for big harbors like Newport Beach, you know, for Avalon, where they're sitting in the slot all day. Great application at speed. You run out of power pretty fast. So until there's a power station at the islands, it's yeah. It might be a little challenging.
Great.
Lenore, could you tell me again the name of the company that you're now the CEO of?
Yeah, it's Vita Power, V as in Victor, I-T-A, Vita Power. It's really a powertrain company. The boats are because you can't sell electric boats until electric powertrains until you have boats so people can try them and see how they function. But it's coming. I mean, there are a lot of electric boat companies in California.
And Director still has I think, electric rib. You still have
that? That's the seal is the rib. Yeah, that's a Vita boat that's sitting at our property. And Director is also, you know, we're just about to hire a technician in Ventura for electric. So it's wider than the Vita products. It's really more about electric boats in general. Director's done a couple of conversions with some others coming up. Mm-hmm. So with other systems, not Vita systems.
Sure. Well, I appreciate you skipping Wet Wednesday and joining us tonight and sharing that information.
Anyway, it's him who's.
Yeah, he looks real happy. All right. So, commissioners, the agenda item is a request for authorization. What do you think?
I certainly be. I would like to move the item, and with kudos to staff and to continue in the direction, and in the future, look forward to. More coming our way.
A second.
All right. We have a motion and a second to authorize the general manager to procure these electric vehicles as listed. This can be a voice vote. So all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the agenda item is approved. Congratulations. Go shopping. All right, we will move on to our third and final agenda item, which is the five-year objectives and update.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. As we have done with these in the past, again, this is a chance to both in the agenda packet to report on quarterly results and progress on a variety of projects and programs, of course, tied to the five-year objectives and our guiding principles. And this period of time covers through June 30th of this year. So we're always doing this thing where we're talking a little bit in past tense because in many of these things, something else has already happened that we're all aware of. So just understand that as we kind of walk through this is for the reporting purposes. Todd and I are going to tag team on this one a bit as we go through. And Jessica, if you could bring up the dredging slide first. At the beginning of the packet is the guiding principles and the five-year objectives, if you want to look at those as well. So Todd, why don't you start us off with our five-year objective D, which is dredging.
Yeah, thank you, Ron. And as Brian said, we typically just highlight a couple of items, one or two per page, that where we think that there's been some achievement or something that you're acting on regularly that you'll be... Yeah, that'll be helpful to know. In the case of dredging, as of July 1st, I became the chair of CMANC. So that is a statewide position representing California Marine and Navigation Affairs. That is why there has been an uptick in travel requests for me because of the responsibilities associated with that. Going to change of command ceremonies, CMANC, WIDA, et cetera. There's also an extra officer's trip, which is the executive board going to DC and laying some of the groundwork for some of the dredging needs for the Port District, but as well as the state as a whole.
All right. Let's move on to letter E with our public and civic engagement. A couple of things here. First one I wanted to hit on is actually down there at the very bottom on this page, which was item two, collaborate with the city and other regional, state, and federal agency officials in pursuit of mutually beneficial projects and programs. For the second year in a row, our chair and vice chair and myself had an opportunity to present projects, programs, and needs at the harbor. So Mike Blumenberg, Jackie Gardena, and myself. I think we may have had a couple of other folks there from the harbor as well, watching in person and online. A good opportunity for the council to interact with the commission. So great opportunity, something that we will continue to do. And then on the next page, on item four, related to identification and utilization of multi-channel outreach for staff recruitment, solicitation of tenant businesses and contracts. And here noted a couple of different things. I just recently in June attended California Special District Association's 2023 General Manager Leadership Summit with training emphasis in employment law, personnel management, including attracting, hiring, retaining employees. Our business operations analyst met with County Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Manager for information on county initiatives. I think that resulted from one of our board discussions here. Harbor Master John sent Harbor Patrol Officer Taylor Plash to Water Women Empowerment event. The event stressed team building, mentoring, supporting advancement of women in the in these careers. So next on to item F, and Todd, why don't you talk a bit about commercial fisheries?
Yeah, so the back in December or January, the board approved a contract with WSP, an international consulting firm with a lot of specialization in waterfront planning. And they gave us some early reads into some modernization options. They came and did a site visit. And over the first two quarters of the year, we're interviewing a number of our stakeholders about what their needs might be in a modernized commercial offloading facility. So we had a lot of really great feedback and response, and then we pressed pause, and I'll jump to the next topic, but I'm going to cheat a little, because staff were working with the Port of Hueneme and their consultants for a Cal-STA, a State Transportation Authority grant. And although here it says the outcome of the application was pending as of June 30th, on July 6th, they did award $80 million to the Port of Hueneme. We are still in early discussions with the Port of Hueneme as to what that will look like, but it sounds like they fully intend to work with us to absorb their commercial fish industry here, in which case we have directed WSP to start interviews with the Port of Hueneme fisheries. More on that in the next quarterly report.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Moving on to collaboration with master tenants. I did want to point out before I keep going, obviously tonight we have a good majority of the management team here. And obviously as we go through all of these are in many ways their efforts and their work, but also they're here tonight. So if you have questions along the way, if there's any of the topics you want to go back on any of these, certainly staff is here to answer those questions. Well, since the director's here tonight, I've got to hit on one of these right up here at the top, which which is item one here, engagement and support of master tenants for successful business operations at the harbor. First achievement up there that happened on June 7th, district was the lead agency in what was the environmental review process for the proposed development for Director Marine Holdings. That was their initial study, mitigated negative declaration that was adopted by you, the board, on June 7th. A lot of great work went into that, both with the director team, their consultants, our consultants, and working through that collaboratively to bring that to fruition. Second one I've got there is item two. I'll hit on two more. Evaluate opportunities for parcel development. Shortly thereafter, on June 21st, we had a presentation here with the board, with the master tenant at Ventura West Marina, to talk about some of their visioning and their ideas to bring Ventura West into a modern marina and possible development opportunities on the land side. Certainly very complex, complicated, a lot of land use issues, but I think it was good for the board to be able to get a sneak peek at some of the things that they've been thinking about. And then lastly, but certainly utilizing a lot of resources and time this year, and this is again is looking backwards to June 30th, but throughout the year we've been working again with Director and with the City of Ventura with respect to the Ventura Water Pure project. Again, thanks for convening the board this last week to consider the easements. Again, this goes back to June 30th, in which there's been up to that point a lot of ongoing effort and looking at the impacts to Director's boatyard and boat operations, along with impacts to our other tenants and our other stakeholders throughout the harbor. And from the staff level, from our perspective, we felt that we worked closely with the city to try to reduce those impacts. Construction is construction, but try to find ways to craft that project that met the city's goals, but at the same time reduced impacts to the harbor itself. So we're pleased with that. And of course, the most recent action occurring this past week. On to N, Channel Islands National Park. And one of the things that we had been working on, and this actually was also with Ventura West, but their second phase, was to work with National Park Service regarding a visitor experience. That's on here as number one under N. And some of the issues down at the end of Spinnaker are about signage and understanding the parking. And while some of those efforts are ongoing, one of the things that we completed recently, and facilities helped us with this, is putting some new signage on Spinnaker Drive, directing people to the Harbor Cove Cafe, down to the National Park Visitor Center, and to the marina, and also to Harbor Cove Beach. So some of the signage was not up to standard, shall we say. There is a very nice wayfinding package that both city uses and is also continues through to the harbor. So in coordinating with the city, Wayne, Sergio, others are working with them to meet the requirements of what the signed criteria has to be, while also helping those tenants, master tenants, and in some cases, subtenants to be able to enjoy better signage. So those signs are up, and we've done some similar things on related to Director and Portside, but we'll report on those in the next quarter.
All right, back to me. So I'm going to focus on number three, the pursuit and implementation of parking management solutions to increase vehicle circulation. In essence, there are three steps ahead of us at this time. One is an MOU agreement with the city. We've provided the draft. The city hasn't really bitten on actually accepting it. But now we had Miles in the room last week, so maybe we can flex our muscle a bit. And then also municipal code needs to be updated. The city has said that they plan to do that this fall. And then the last one will be a Coastal Commission Coastal Development Permit. The board hired or approved a PSA with Dixon Resources. That's the parking consultant that supports the city. They are tasked with all three of those things and are working on them for us. The Coastal Development Permit application it should go in by the end of September. And the other items are work in progress with the city. They're kind of like a dual agent real estate agent here because they're working on both of our behalf. But I think that's going to actually help us get through the finish line. And yeah, that's the update on that one.
Okay.
And then R for revenue.
Yeah, I've got one there at the top there. Yeah.
Yeah, got two items here. I'm actually going to give a shout out to Kent Bullard. I don't know if he's still on the line. So if we take a look at the grants at the top, referring to SCE, Cali VIP, not necessarily State Lands Commission in this example, but Kent put me on to the grant agencies to help fund these projects. And with his assistance, we now have four chargers out, connected to the back of this building, as I mentioned, 21 more coming. Fortunately, Edison's taking their time, but that should be maybe in January. But I think that all of that will come at zero cost to the district because of the grant funding we were able to receive on those, getting those chargers. And again, Kent really was a great resource for getting us that information. And then leasing property management. Well, I guess it's actually number four, the updated financial management system. MRI property management software. It's also our accounting software now. Continues to roll out, including online payments, making some tenants very happy and other tenants just preferring to write checks.
Mm-hmm.
It does certainly streamline the accounting process when that happens, and we continue to move it forward. There's been a few bugs and challenges to get through, but that continues to roll out, and we anticipate hopefully everyone who's willing to use the portal to pay doing so by the end of the year.
Okay, I'm going to actually report on one of our other ones here on revenue as well. Financial reporting number five, And I think you saw this during our budget session, which was an opportunity to hear about our CalPERS pension obligations, looking at actuarials into the future as part of our our budget process and having those meetings, looking at our debt positions, looking at our bonds and restructuring opportunities to the extent they exist, and bringing that information forward as part of the budget workshop process ahead of making formal decisions on the budget. So with that, we'll jump to the village and take a look at item number one there, ongoing investment in Harbor Village infrastructure. I sort of looked at this and Joe, you've got a lot more projects than what's listed here. I know that for sure with everything that's being approved, and wrapped up in terms of construction and so on. But I did want to note, and we talked about it just earlier tonight with the notice of completions, the ADA restroom improvements, trash enclosures listed on here. The work was done. You got to get to the notice of completion process, but great work on that. And they do look really nice, all of the above, and much more usable for all folks. Also on item two, develop and implement an annual visitation plan. Wanted to give a shout out there to Jennifer and her team, Ruby and Susan, putting together, I think, each year a better and better visitation plan for the public, engaging with the tenants in the spring, doing their survey work, reaching out, looking for the kinds of things that the tenants are looking for. Conversely, doing surveys with the people who come to the harbor. What are they looking for? And then building that plan each year around those results, the budget. There's a lot that goes into it. You see the final plan and take action on that, which is a relatively new thing over the last two or three years that we implemented. So great work there. And I think with all the activities going so far this fiscal year, it's already in motion. And then taking advantage of sometimes things that just come your way that you can take advantage of, like this RAMS experience and so on, that you can fold into the programming. So I'll stop there. Todd, do you have anything else?
No.
Okay. We'll stop with a presentation and ask if there's any question. And again, staff is here if you'd like to dig a little deeper in any of these.
Commissioners, thoughts, questions?
First of all, I remember when I first came on the board and there wasn't any way to track what was happening. And now for the last several years, you have just brought us a really clear sense of what the goals of the district are, and what's happening. And I really appreciate it. And I know the achievements would not happen without the staff that is at the district. So while good leadership is important, it's the people who put in the day-to-day work. So thank you so much for all that you're doing. I also recognize that there's very few things where no action was taken. I know that we've had discussions about whether the goals are too many and too much, but it's really amazing how many things actually have steps that were taken this quarter, and how few things had nothing. And the ones that didn't, it appeared to be more that it just wasn't in the timeline right mm-hmm. now, rather mm-hmm. than. Mm-hmm. I think the only question that I have, we seem to have a lot more ongoing collaboration with the city, but I'm not sure how successful we've been at pushing our agenda with them mm-hmm. as opposed to their getting their agenda on us. So I'm curious, I did put in a comment about paving the streets. You know, I wrote to our to the representative for our for us that comes here. The council member. We're waiting on the parking piece. We need municipal codes changed. So I'm just wondering, what could we be doing differently to kind of get movement on the city's part a little bit more?
I think it would be helpful if you know, obviously with the blessing of the full commission, that the chair and a vice chair meet with the mayor, meet with the representative of this district who is the mayor. And then we also have a liaison who is from a different district. But I think commission level engagement would be helpful.
Okay.
Because I think ultimately, I think that they're, you know, we work very well with the staff, but staff's going to take their direction in terms of what their priorities are from their leadership. And so whether it's John working on a variety of issues, us working on issues in other departments, you know, some of the lower level task things, I think, get done pretty efficiently. I mentioned earlier, you know, Wayne and Sergio working on signage. You know, there's back of house stuff that's happening there to make sure that's done correctly. And I think we work well together. But one that Todd brought up related to, you know, parking, the public works director just retired. So we had been working with Phil Nelson, Phil Nelson on a variety of issues. And that was one of them. So we had been working on Navigator Street being completely paved. We had some verbal assurances on that. And I'm not saying that's gone away. I don't know. But, you know, I think it sort of starts at the top. And, of course, the city's gone through some leadership changes itself. And we're certainly going to be inviting the new city manager here to the harbor. Maybe that's a great opportunity for the two of you to join us. I would want the management team and our harbor master be involved with that as well. So that's the first thing that comes to mind from my perspective is advocacy from the commission level.
And I was just going to add on to that, that I think the district's been doing a good job reaching out to the city. It's just been who's sitting in that chair this week. And it's unfortunate, but I do think with the new city manager, Bill is certainly met with him on a couple of other issues, and I think bringing some of the key things that are important to us, I think, is really top of his list is getting things done that hasn't been, that have just been on hold and for just no other reason than a priority again going forward. And I think being able to two of you to be able to attend along with certainly the leadership team, I think would be a profound statement and just laying out the things that we specifically need in the next couple of years. And I know that Bill's real anxious to make sure things start happening at City Hall. Part of the reason I think he threw his hat in the ring is retiring from where he was. It's like, hey, things aren't getting done. And, he does have the whereabouts to do that. It's a little different arena for him. But I think that I know he's going to prove himself, and this will be a great opportunity.
Yeah, and I just want to say that, and I said chair and vice chair, and that's not to exclude the other three, because all of you have, two of you have long county experience, and we have, you know, Commissioner Rainey, who's a local government finance background. So, I mean, anybody could, you know, the old expression, divide and conquer. There's a variety of, I think, opportunities, I think, to meet with the city. I think, John, did you have a comment or addition to that as well?
Just real quick, it doesn't show up here, but the day-to-day things, the relationships with the city have never been stronger. Wayne has been an awesome, you know, steal from the city, but his relationships with those same things have allowed us to borrow the barriers that typically the city would say, you know, for legal reasons, we can't let you use something like that because it's ours. But instead, they've eased up. So there is a lot more cohesive workings. I routinely work with the water treatment center and help them take their boats down to the estuary and consult with them on things. So a lot of stuff does, and I think the improvements are at our level much better. It used to be, who are you guys, and, you know, why don't you do it yourself? And now it's like, oh yeah, hey John, you know, I just got a text today. Can you take us out to the pier because the FEMA representative wants to look at the water side? Absolutely. You know, that was my response to them. When can you do it? When do you need it? So we're that open to them, and they've been pretty open to us too. So
thank you.
Just wanted to add that extra.
Yeah, good background. Thank you.
I want to jump in this city liaison idea. I love the idea of reaching out to the new city manager. I'm sure he's kind of drinking from the fire hose right now, but extend the invitation. And when they fill the new public works director job, we should extend that invitation also. I think what we did for Congressman Carbajal was a great example. You kind of take for granted that these guys, especially somebody who grew up in the area, that they know us, but a lot of times they don't. And so giving them a good tour is a great idea. And I think you got your pick of commissioners to help on any of those. I saw a lot of, I'll go back to your format. As Jackie said, I like this format. I continue to like how it covers all the bases, covers a wide variety of bases, gives us an opportunity to sync up on what we're doing day to day and what are we doing long term. A couple of things that I saw linkages today that I thought were great, right? We had an agenda item authorizing you to procure electric vehicles. That goes right back to the sustainability goal that we've talked about so much. So we see these long-term goals coming to fruition. The commercial fishing, I had the opportunity to dive on the Spectre this weekend. Always good to, Ventura's got three dive boats. I should spread my wealth a little bit, but Spectre was this past weekend. It's always interesting when you come into the harbor, how front and center the commercial nature of the harbor is. You see this line of fishing vessels, and actually you smell the line of fishing vessels a little bit, but it's a commercial working harbor, and that's great. The opportunity with Port Hueneme, crucial, right? We talk about how commercial fishing is so important to support our dredging every year. Dredging is the linchpin that keeps the harbor open. Commercial fishing is what enables the dredging. So that effort with Port Hueneme strongly encourage us to work very closely with them. You know, let's not wait and let this thing go stale. Todd, I suspect you're all over it. But please let the commission know how we can support that. We want to make that Port Hueneme thing work. Aquaculture, the NOAA, the transition, we stepped back a little bit from pushing our own aquaculture. We're looking for NOAA to kind of take the lead. As we suspected, the federal government moves slowly. But there's aquaculture opportunities out there. Kelp harvesting, for example, is coming to us. Keep looking for those opportunities because commercial fishing is what keeps us open. A couple of big things, exciting things. Parcel 5 we heard about recently. Ventura West we heard about recently. And I guess I've learned enough over the past several years on this commission that none of that moves fast, but it takes continuing nurturing. So I encourage you to find, add to this document here, what are the next actions that we can do, that the staff can do to keep these things, not necessarily make them fast, but just keep them moving forward.
Mike, while you're pausing there, I'll just let you know that the WSP interviews did include two aquaculture companies as part of the stakeholder outreach.
Okay, very good. So maybe we'll be setting the infrastructure to support that. Excellent. Yeah, the one question I had is, Brian, you had sent a message or a letter to the city recommending changes to the municipal codes that would kind of set the stage for some of the changes we want to make. Have we ever gotten any feedback on that yet?
Yeah, so Brian's letter was a public comment on a city council meeting where Dixon, again, the same consultant, prepared a third of three presentations to the city on these are the plans that need to move forward. That plan does include an amendment to the municipal code for city council to consider actually making the change this fall. So that is the city's plan. They approved the plan to do that. They have not actually done the change, but it is something that they're working on, with my understanding is probably like an October, November timeframe.
Chair, were you also referring to some of the discussion about the local coastal program as well, some of those land use changes?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So we also had a letter that went to the city with respect to that, to the acting community development director. And Todd, I think you were able to actually attend the meeting, but my understanding is that they incorporated, I'll call it the key land use changes that we asked for.
The Planning Commission considered the planning department's recommendations. We were low in terms of the hot topics, which is probably not a bad thing. The recommendations, as Brian said, were largely incorporated, most of them were. But City Council will now consider that, I believe, in the second meeting in October. They will now take the recommendations of the Planning Commission and deliberate that at City Council. So we're not done, but that's the next step.
So a couple of those were amend the LCP to allow for mixed use on the Ventura West parcel. Again, that has to go through Coastal Commission. There are a lot of coastal policies that would come into play. We have an expert sitting right across from here who knows those better than any of us. But we did want that change to go in because I think the board was supportive of the need for housing, number one, the need for, you pointed out Portside and how beneficial, how good a master plan development is for the harbor, not only physically, but also financially. And their opportunity to maybe do that on a smaller scale, but still to be able to do something similar. So we did that. We also added hotels to the commercial only districts. It's not that there's a specific project in mind. It's creating those opportunities and flexibilities within the harbor zoning, just looking ahead that there could be those future opportunities. And there were one or two others, but I think, you know, those were two key ones in particular. And so that was incorporated, Planning Commission? Yeah. So
Planning Commission did not vote one way or the other.
It's going on to the council. Yeah.
So the Planning Commission did not deliberate on that. They accepted the recommendations, and that was fine. And now it will go to City Council.
Okay. Appreciate the updates on that.
Mm-hmm. I'll just add, I think the mixed use, land use designation at Ventura West is critical. And when that does get scheduled to go before the council, if you could let us know, I'd appreciate it.
Okay.
Give us an opportunity to.
Yeah, there's comment. There's an opportunity to engage right there, right? Mm-hmm. In terms of that. Did they set the date? Do we know?
I believe it was the second Monday in October, but we should.
Okay, so we will advise the board.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to jump on the same bandwagon, because the city. Just with all of the cities are updating their housing element. And that's where I think mixed use and anything to do with housing, we should be a part of that. The other thing is getting ready for the next budget cycle with the city and getting into the capital improvement program of the city. Some of these street and other infrastructure items that we need. I would be more than willing to help out in that, so we can see them put it as a CIP project. I mean, it's okay to meet, and you know, staff wants to do it, but if it's not in the CIP, mm-hmm. it's not budgeted,
right.
And it won't get done. And what they'll be basically saying is, oh well, you know, if one of the projects doesn't use all of the resources. And, you know, we can go to the council and see if we can move it, then we'll move it up there. But I really think that we need to advocate seeing some of these things in their CIP budget. We are the Absolutely. City. We bring in revenue for the city. We make this city a good place to visit, live, work, and play. You know, and I think they owe that to us.
He said it well.
Yeah. I think he's taking lines from Jennifer. All right. Good discussion. Do we have any public comments on our goals and 5-year objectives?
I have no public speakers.
No public speakers in the house. No public speakers online. We'll close public comments. This was a receive and file. Chris, I'm going to look to you for some advice here. Sometimes you suggested that we vote on a receive and file or just accept it.
Well, it's not an information only item, so we should have a motion. I move we receive and file the report.
Okay.
I'll second.
So we have a motion and a second to receive and file this much appreciated update on our five-year objectives. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, we will receive and file the update. Much appreciated. And before I adjourn, we'll get together again in 2 weeks on the 20th of September, correct? I think that's the Wednesday. If I do my math right? I won't be
here. That is correct.
Vice Chair will be on a vacation. So. All right. So we will adjourn for the night. Thank you very much.
Thank you.